Welcome to another episode of Good Medicine is Cheaper Medicine. I'm Shelley Wrench, along with Dr. Nash Gabriel with the Gabriel Cancer Center, as always. And today we have a special, special guest, Sherry Ryan, who we've invited because of today's topic and want her feedback and her knowledge of what we want to discuss.
And the topic is?
And the topic is, I want to go over just a brief overview to kind of give background to our listeners as to why we're even having this discussion. Basically, from the beginning of a drug being sold, right? It goes from the pharma company, let's say for $100, the list price $100. They mark it up $10, the drug maker adds $10, sends it to the wholesaler. The wholesaler marks it up $20, keeps $10. Then they sell it to the pharmacy. The pharmacy keeps $10, charges $130, puts a $20 copay on the patient, sends it to the insurer, the pharmacy benefit manager, which is in between the pharmacy and the insurer, which that tells you there's somebody else taking some more money.
Another middleman.
They take $45, and in the meantime, the pharma company gives a $50 rebate to the PBM. The PBM keeps $35. Then the PBM gets money from the insurance company, $140. This sounds like such a conundrum, and this is the reason that we're having this
conversation. So, Shelley, for the audience, to put it in simple English, like myself, I want to be...
Well, I know, like you say, if you can't do it in two sentences,
when we buy, GM makes a car, let's say $30,000. Well, from what I hear from car dealers and others, that probably at the end, the customer will pay about $34,000, $33,000. Because of the cost of transportation, you have the car dealership, they have building, they have staff, they want to make money. So there is kind of one middleman there.
Right.
In the car. So it's much better for you to buy a car than get sick these days.
Very much so.
Okay. And just make sure that people understand. Right. Whereas in the drug distribution, there are 3-4 car dealerships in the middle.
More. And the one thing that was missing in this whole conundrum is who's actually funding the money, and that's where, Sherry, you come in. It's the employer
who's paying the tab, who's being penalized, employer and patients too.
Right.
Okay.
And patients.
So, Sherry, tell us a little bit about your background and as to why you're here today with us.
Okay. First of all, thanks so much for having me. It's great to see you guys again. It's always great working with you guys, and it's always great to try to do what we can to solve these issues that are out there. Which is the price of healthcare. It's crazy. It's hard for employees. It's hard for employers. It's hard as, you know, either any end of the spectrum, from the consumer to anywhere. My name is Sherry Ryan, and I am basically an accountant. And as an accountant, you as you proceed in your career and take on different roles, I'm now a CFO, and CFOs get very, very involved in anything related to price or cost or things related to their employees or things that affect the bottom line, which healthcare is in both of those arenas.
Well, and you know, in our previous lives together, you know, you being with an on-site clinic that we had, you know, you and I shared a lot of data as far as the cost of drugs, what it looks like to the employer.
Oh, and that was pretty eye-opening. When you get to the point that you can see the data and see the different pricing that goes on, the different, you know, from one drug that sold in one, from one retail pharmacy to another retail pharmacy, from one method of distribution to another method of distribution, the pricing is all over the place. And it's funny how your intro there talked about all the different layers in pharmaceutical pricing. I had a broker tell me once that I wouldn't be able to understand it.
Oh my goodness! And that's you know, I always wanted to know on the.
And you are a CPA.
I'm a CPA
who has been involved in healthcare from the employer side.
Correct. But they're saying that it's too hard for anybody to understand. Nobody could understand this.
You know why? It is too hard.
It is hard.
Because
it is hard.
It's unpredictable. It is. Variations are on day-to-day basis,
right?
And we're going on when we'll talk about the PBMs, how whenever there is lack of transparency, you are talking about huge amount of unpredictability.
Correct.
And I think this is where President Trump and Secretary of HHS Azar are making these comments that there is no transparency. We don't know what these people are doing. Not that the government should know what we do, except when there is a move towards a monopoly. As I'm a capitalist, and I do believe that when there is a danger of monopoly, that's when you push the brakes. And the PBMs, I think Shelley will soon explain how the PBMs have been monopolizing the markets.
Yeah, they sure have. I mean, right now that it's down to just a handful of very large PBMs that they're buying up specialty pharmacies, and now the insurers are buying up the whole group. They're partnering with the PBMs who now own the specialty pharmacy.
So why don't the rules of monopolies apply in this industry? Why isn't government?
Because I tell you what, Sherry, honestly, from day one when we launched this program, I told Shelley, there are two things you don't discuss in dinner with family or friends, politics and religion. And I told her, we will have to discuss those every single program. Because this idea of hiding information, or back to your question, the reason why we never solve that problem is because the special interest groups are so entrenched in the swamp, you call it, mm-hmm. that it paralyzes the Congress and the Senate in doing anything. And all of a sudden now, we have a president who says, I don't care about lobbyists, I don't care about special interest group, I only care about one thing, and that is what's really going to be good to the employer and to the employees. And lo and behold, Sheila and I have been, not only us, thousands of physicians have been very vocal about this danger of PBM, that's the pharmacy benefit plans. Now he's willing to take on this one, and believe me, this guy is a multi-billionaire. He doesn't care about when he graduates, after he finishes presidency graduation, he doesn't care about charging $1 million for a talk. He probably spends $1 million a day on dinners, whatever. So back to you. When you're working with employers, and in your previous job, you were involved in the design of health plan to your employees?
Correct, in my previous job and my current job.
How did it work with the pharmacy benefit? How did it work that you guys... You sat down and you said, what? Or did you have consultants to tell you, what would the benefit be to our employees?
Yeah, and I remember when we first, you know, were partnering with healthcare with you, I remember sending an actual email saying, you don't need, if somebody comes at you, you don't need specialty pharmacy now that we have the on-site clinic. And 6 months later, all of a sudden I get this email like, this is so-and-so, and we're the specialty pharmacist and PBM for this,
right.
this company. It's like,
right.
What did I say? Where did
it's
I
probably,
not get
caught? Right, and it's probably because it all gets so confusing and it gets
I've
lost down the trail.
Know. How did you guys...
The trail is that we do use consultants. I would say this is probably typical with most companies, use a consultant / broker to assist in finding who's going to dispense who your healthcare provider is going to be and who's going to be your pharmacy provider. And in searching for pharmacy providers, you're heavily relying on what consultants say, because I'm not a doctor.
Well, and they say that you're not going to be able to understand it.
And I'm not going to be able to understand it. The pricing side of it, which I do like numbers.
Exactly.
So they do. It's a process where you shop vendors just like anything else that you're doing.
So you trust them to shop for you and report
and the vendors to you? Come in and report back, and then you have a selection process with the team of people that are helping to choose. You have a selection process, and you choose the vendor that you think is
so they give you proposals.
Most in alignment with your goals, which our goals would have been to provide the best quality care for our associates at the best price.
So, but they give you proposals.
And they would give proposals.
Correct. And are they proposals? I mean, can you really compare apples to apples? Or there is
the
a lot
proposals
of...
are very difficult to compare apples to apples because they price differently. But you do your best to try.
What do you mean by price differently? I mean,
so some PBMs would price things out as just a straight fee on each script that's written,
right.
And then some would do things where they would, the rebates that you mentioned, Sally, some would pass those back, some would put it in their pricing model. There's a lot of different pricing models in this.
It's just a big conundrum.
It is. It's very
difficult. The rebates is a good thing, because I think that's where Alex Azar, the HHS secretary, he's zooming on. the rebates, apparently there is lack of transparency. And why is the government concerned about that? Is because, of course, Medicare and Medicaid, they do use PBMs. And the rebates are supposed to be incorporated into the calculation of the future cost of the drugs. We call it ASP, which is average sales price. So when there is no transparency there,
how would you know?
How would you know?
How would you know?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And when you are the CPA and the CFO, and you say it was difficult to, you know,
it's
was
difficult.
Einstein, when he said, if it takes you more than 10 seconds to make a point, then you don't have a point, or you don't know what you're talking about. So maybe it can be said the same thing about any proposals. If it gets so confusing that maybe there is something hidden that somebody don't want to say.
Somebody doesn't want you to
it's
know.
It's not that they don't know. It's actually they do know.
They
very
do know,
well.
And they don't want you to know.
How many employers you think actually are aware that there could be some cloudiness or call it turbidity in the process with the PBMs?
I'm not sure, but my guess would be that we as employers, as a population, you know, we know less than we think. You know, it really takes a lot of digging in to get to the details that we got to in my previous job. But I would say employers aren't aware of everything that's going on. But maybe they are. It's just very difficult. I mean, think of your day. Your day is not about this. Your day is
manufacturing
the product, getting the parts out the door, finding the best price, and you know, taking care of your employees, but taking care of your customers as well. Mm-hmm. And your day is very busy. So to spend time and to become an expert in this is very difficult. It's very difficult to carve out that time. It almost takes to be an expert, or else you have to rely on other people that don't have the same, you know, desire for those low-cost, you know, best quality, low-cost options that are out there.
Right. You know, and talking with other employers, and correct me if I'm wrong, most of them say that after their whatever their manufacturing money, the dollar spent for whatever they do to manufacturing, their next highest cost is healthcare.
So yeah, your direct materials that go into a part and your direct labor that goes into a part, but labor, because labor is in most companies is one of the biggest cost components, labor requires all the benefits. You want to give all the benefits to your employees. So yes,
right.
Healthcare is one of the top costs out there. So it's something we have to become experts in. We have to learn about, and I think self-insurance has been a real good benefit in that. That's a good option. But the scary part of that is that even puts more. You just have to try harder to understand what's going on, and rely less on the consultants and develop your own internal knowledge.
Right. So what you're talking about is self-funded policy.
Shelley, I have a question to Sherry. We did mention at the beginning that there are three, four layers of called middlemen, middlewomen, whatever you call them. Are you familiar with them?
Not to the level that you guys are. I am familiar with a PBM, and the PBM, and so then from the PBM would be the retail outlet, like you know your pharmacies that would dispense. And
let me take you step by step for the audience, so that because you both Shelley and you and I, we probably know more than the average people listening. That's why we're talking about this. You are an employer, and you say, this year I'm going to design a new health plan or to do be self-funded, right?
Right.
You sit down in the boardroom and a decision is made, and you guys sit down and decide maybe even how much cost you can tolerate. What's next step? Who you talk to?
So next you would have to find your outside experts to help you with that, a consultant or a broker.
Who are they? I mean, how do you know what's their credential? These are people who advise on the health plan.
Right. So, I mean, they're insurance brokers. For the biggest piece of them, they're insurance brokers.
So basically what they do is they have a template from various payers or insurance companies. And they present to you, if you go with this is what you write.
Right, and they would have a piece of this as well.
They get kickback?
I mean, they're going to have to get paid in some way. It would either be a commission. It could be a commission that's a part of the – it could be a straight fee as a consultant, or it's a commission that's a part of your entire healthcare plan. And
Shelley, I want to make
out.
A point for Sherry and the world to know. Do you realize, Sherry, if I, as a physician, if I – refer a patient to a physician, and if he buys me a dinner in return, specifically in return, I can go to jail. kickback among physicians, absolutely forbidden. Yet you're telling me these people function on the base of commission?
Kickback.
I call kickback.
They would function on the basis of, not necessarily to where they send it, no, not to who they send it, but they would get a fee for their service. So if we hired them, it could be a straight fee. It'd be a fee for their service, and we could use 10, 20 different, we could bring our own people to the table. They would get a fee for their service.
But they don't get a fee from the insurance?
Then whoever is hired could be. I think they could.
Well, wasn't that the lawsuit?
I am not exactly sure other than the straight fee. Wasn't that the lawsuit? Exactly where that money comes from.
Sure, it was a lawsuit Mercy had against AltCare. Remember when Mercy sued AltCare? It was because AltCare was exuberantly paying their brokers.
It was that? Okay.
It was part of it. Yeah. At one stage, it was like not only double digits, like 50, 60%. Oh, anyway.
Right. And so, you could go to jail for doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah, physician
right.
Go to jail.
Yeah.
So, or even Shelley, if she knows about it, she'd go to jail if she knows about it and she doesn't report it. So you get the consultants. What's next? You talk to them. They present to you plans that they receive from payers. What's next?
Right. So then after you try to do your best to do apples-to-apples plans, and let's say we've chosen a PBM, the next step is, and this is what was somewhat excruciating for a non-medically trained person, is as you set up your plan, you have to make a lot of decisions on what you're going to insure, how you're going to insure it, what your list of prescriptions are going to be, there's a lot of different questions that go through.
So you're deciding, whether you're going to, what kind of medication you're going to choose in that space for, say, maybe cardiology drugs or something like that.
Now, you're talking here about the pharmacy benefit plan.
Yes.
My question initially was,
on the healthcare side?
On the whole healthcare side, when does the PBM, the pharmacy benefit, get into the process where you start asking advisors or consultants about which one to choose? From the get-go or later?
Yeah, from the beginning. If you were starting out that way, you would have to choose the medical side and the pharmacy side.
At the same time. And those things don't have to be the same company. They're different companies, right?
They do not have to be the same. They can be different companies.
But they're both tied to the consultant. The consultant comes in and gives you the...
If you hire a consultant,
right.
Or you might use
right.
an insurance broker, there would be different avenues to doing that.
I have a question. When you're looking into the PBM, do they bring in, okay, this PBM, you would use Specialty Pharmacy X because it's under this PBM? Or do they allow you to choose your specialty pharmacy as well?
I'm pretty sure that we were never given an option of which specialty pharmacy.
I knew that answer.
Always, I think it's just always the specialty pharmacy
hold
that is
a
part of the PBM.
You pay for a service, but you don't have options to choose?
That's correct. I think it's a part of the – when you choose the PBM, you are tied to their specialty pharmacy.
It's a package deal.
It's a package deal.
Because there is inside dealing among themselves.
Potentially.
Well, just like
also,
in my
I wouldn't have the knowledge.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have the knowledge to know. I would have to, once I relied on whoever was consulting to me, then I relied on the pharmacy benefit, I wouldn't have the knowledge then to then know how to shop a specialty pharmacy. Because it's...
In your role, do you know what makes a specialty pharmacy drug? Was it ever explained to
that
you?
That was very difficult as well. I mean... Special handling is all I know. It's expensive and special handling. So I don't know if that's a very clear definition. And, in fact, I think that there's not a very clear definition of what a specialty medicine is.
Well, I can tell you, when that was posed in a survey I've got in front of me here, what makes up a specialty drug, there are at least 11 different answers here. It's because there is no answer. It's not special at all. It's not because you need high-touch people to have high touch on people making sure the patient's getting their medication. No, it is that they want to get in front of those high-cost items, right? They were hired by pharma to push their – or actually getting rebates by pharma to push their meds. So, yes, they can call all day long.
Shelley, I'm becoming nervous. You mean that when everybody talk about specialty drugs, that term is vague?
Yeah, I mean, it's all over the place. It's somebody said it was infused meds. Someone else says it's drugs that require special claims processing, drugs requiring special handling or storage, high unit cost drugs, office administered injectables. I mean, it just goes on and on. There's nobody can put their finger on even what it is. Not even a strong definition. It's because there is none. Specialty meds is not anything special at all. It's what can they tie rebates
to? It's how much they can charge.
It's how much they get back in return.
Sherry, are you familiar with that during your work until even today, if you're involved with the healthcare and the current employer? Are you familiar with the fact that the pharmacy benefit plans, they might preferentially prefer one drug over another based on how much rebate they get, and regardless of what the cost and safety to the patient and to the employers is?
Oh, well, that's not good. No, I'm not aware of that. I am aware that there are rebates, and always look to make sure the rebates are passed back to the employer through some kind of contractual deal. That way they would not be so incentivized to make the wrong decision. But no, I did not know they could do that, and especially if it's at risk of the patient.
See, I think that's the problem with the lack of transparency. When there is lack of transparency, just say it the way it is. When you don't, then people are suspicious. And now the Congress is suspicious. We have been suspicious for a long time. The specialty pharmacies, from our experience and from our national organization's experience and personally at Gabriel Cancer Center, we think they are potentially endangering patients' lives.
Oh, wow.
Because, I mean, we have stories and stories, and I wonder how much the employers know about this. I mean, we have stories where the drug was delivered to the patient's estranged husband, who actually has the legal term when the court says he cannot go close to the person.
A restraining order?
Restraining order. And the drug was delivered to his house, and that drug was critical for her survival.
Oh, wow.
You guys are aware of that?
So, specifically,
you guys meaning you, the CFOs?
The CFOs? No, because that's not what we're trained to know.
Exactly. No.
What should we do? What should the medical community do? I assume you guys, you trust the physicians more than you trust your consultants and your PBMs, right?
Yes.
What should we do so that there is a better, because I do believe, yeah, the government can put rules and regulations and so on. I think ultimately any solution to a bigger problem should come from below to the top rather than the other way around. How do you foresee that? I mean, what can we do as a medical profession to help?
Well, I guess education to everybody is what it's going to take. Education to the employers, because then the employers can help educate the employees, although I'm not sure that the employees have enough of the decision-making in this. So the employers, if the employers are the people that are now doing a lot of the establishing of the healthcare plans and how all of those work, then the employers are going to continue to need a lot more education on all of this. And then hopefully employers can drive the legislation.
Charlie, besides the rebate issue, which is a serious issue, because it does increase the cost to the patient, the more layers you put in the profit for the middleman, somebody's paying.
Oh, yeah.
That somebody is either the employer or the employee.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
On the physician side, if there are four different drugs and my employees don't know the difference in cost between them, and they all have the same ingredients, the same benefits, and let's say I didn't set up my prescription plan to try a generic first, which you would want to do, but let's say I'm new, I didn't know to do that. Why would a physician prescribe the highest cost drug?
Physicians, generally speaking, majority of all of them, are numb to cost.
Okay.
Physicians generally say, you know what, I will prescribe whatever drug I want, and it's a problem of the insurance to handle it.
They I don't think physicians have a class in drug cost 101, right?
No. Like I don't have a class in
right.
Yeah, Sherry, we don't. But Sherry has a very good question. Isn't it part of my job as a physician
to know
and to act? Because to me, when drugs are more expensive, people tend not to use them. And when people don't use them, they get sicker.
Yeah,
so as part of my profession is make sure that find ways. I mean, we have 2-3 staffers at Gabriel Cancer Center whose job is to find ways to fund drugs that insurers don't pay or pay partially for. Because I know if they don't get those drugs, they are hurt. So Sherry has a very legit, really question.
It's a loaded question.
Where are we? I mean, you talk about society responsibility, call it. No, actually, it's responsibility to the patient.
What about, like, on those drug decisions by physicians, some of them who listen to the drug rep that just brought in lunch?
It is a problem that some physicians, unfortunately, some physicians consider the drug representative, who is usually a college graduate with way less knowledgeable than you are, Sherry, and yet she's a drug rep, and some physicians consider them as the source of information. When I hear that, my face turns red. My few hairs left on top of my head stand up because I get, really? You depend on the, well, because they know, that I always tell my colleagues, your source should be scientific, peer-reviewed literature, conferences, listen to experts, and even when you listen to experts, you have to be careful. There is always some bias inserted there.
Yeah, this is such a big topic that I think what we need to do is to have a second episode on this, and I think that we should continue the talk. And as always, all of our episodes are uploaded to the Gabriel Cancer Center website at gabrielcancercenter.com. And listeners at any time, they can listen to it while they're driving in the car, walking, exercising, whatever they want. So
I agree. Continue the same discussion because it is as a separate episode, maybe the following week.
Yes.
Sherry is providing a lot of insight, and one insight is we just don't know. That's great to know because that put more weight on our shoulders.
We've got to figure this out.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Shelley, obviously we need to help the employers. We need to help the patients. And there are things we're doing, including the on-site clinics, but we also recently discovered that the pharmacy can be a good source of information and to bypass some of those problems that PBMs create. Explain, please.
Well, what we did is we started the Liberty Pharmacy, which is a retail pharmacy. So we can actually look at your plan design to see where can we save you money, right? So you're not talking to, CVS down the street they're not worried about your pockets. They're worried about theirs. So our Liberty Pharmacy, we have a team of experts that find patient assistance to help pay for, the higher cost medications and make sure that we get it delivered to them on time and not through that huge time that it takes to get from specialty pharmacy.
When we come back, I think we should elaborate on that.
Yes, agreed.